Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 11th of November, recording at 6:57 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, slightly more hoarse than usual, just back from the chart seminar, where I've been talking pretty well all day in that workshop environment, and I'll just say very briefly about that. What an impressive group of delegates I've got. First, it's absolutely packed with subscribers, and you know I cut these things off at 50, and that's just to maintain the workshop environment. But I tell you, there's one heck of a lot of brain power in that room, and then me. But the Fuller Money subscribers, the depth of experience and interest and so on is absolutely phenomenal. I've always been impressed by this. I reckon my subscribers are the brightest group of people that I've ever met, and they have a passion for the markets that I just share. I just love to see it. And I've got some very bright young sparks in there, and this number of them, six of them would come over from, eight of them rather, come over from Sovereign in Dubai. Just a terrific group. Okay, what about these markets? Now, I have had a good scroll through my charts to sort of fill me in here on what's actually taking place. And the most important thing that has happened in here today is that the oil price, which had a good day on the upside yesterday, but it's given up most of it in here today, and that crude chart is at 47.50 as I speak. That's down 136. It has been as low as 47.10, but it's still leaning on that, or testing, pressuring the top of that August rally, which is a potential support level. But there's nothing on the charts yet to suggest that we have completed this downside correction, which I maintain is a medium-term correction within oil's secular bull market. Now, if I'm wrong, then we will see crude oil back in new high ground within 5 weeks. But for that to happen, we are really going to have to see an upward dynamic and then a follow-through on the next day. And it just hasn't been able to do that yet. I do expect that at some point, but until that occurs, this looks to me like a market that's still probing for a low, and it hasn't found it yet. Now, with oil coming down and natural gas coming down as well, back underneath $8 on the January contract, that has been a tonic for those informed stock markets, which have been consolidating a bit recently, and a number of them have powered ahead here again today. I'm pretty sure we had a new high for the year on the French CAC index, so that's another European index going through to a new high for the year. Again, I keep posing that question, what's breaking down in here? There are a lot of people who are saying, well, this rally isn't going to go any further or whatever. I disagree, because the leaders, and you don't get to better leader than, say, the Australian index, except maybe the New Zealand index has done even better still, but they're still moving up. Most of these emerging markets are either, if not still moving up, are very, very firm in here generally. So what's breaking down? Nothing. I did find one market that has been a bit of a disaster over the last few months, and that was, or Owen found it, I should say, and that was Cyprus. So bad news for Cypriots, but I don't think any of the rest of the world is going to panic over that. Now, as I speak, we've got the Dow up 64, nearly 65 points. We've got the S&P up 7.5, and we've got the NASDAQ up nearly 15.5. So firm day here on Wall Street. And if Wall Street is neutral to firm, that gives every other stock market a license to push a bit higher. Led by special situations, and commodities are as good a special situation as we actually get in here. So that makes me feel very much that this medium-term rally that I was looking for is still very much in play here. I see no evidence that it's over. It is, as I've said all along, a tradable rally. Now, what about some of the laggards? In irritatingly, Japan, where I do have an interest in the futures, and that's been a dog. I wasn't very clever in going in and buying that. Down 148 in here today, and it's also doing that against the background of what has been a pretty soft yen recently. It's a little bit firmer in here today, but it has been soft. But I'm not going to get shaken out, or certainly not at this stage, on that because of global commonality. But fortunately, a number of other things are doing considerably better in here. And the Asian stock market's generally firm, although mixed picture here. Thailand still suffering from that concern over the unrest that we'd seen in the southern part of the country. But that isn't going to persist, in my view. And I'm very happy to hold on to that. India's going gangbusters in here, so that's terrific. The mining sector is looking very firm, and so I'm very happy with that, generally. Now, U.S. bonds are closed today. I forget, it's some sort of minor holiday in here today in the States. I can't remember what it is, but at any rate, so nothing to report on there today, although I did notice that the European bunds pushed to a new high within this current uptrend here. Now, you know my view. I'm short the U.S. Treasuries, and I've got an initial stake short position in the JGBs, which I'll probably increase. Global commonality is not working at the moment in here with the, say, the bunds hitting a new recovery high. The U.K. gilts didn't do it, but the bunds, I think, are also influenced by Germany's continued slowing growth. And that might actually be a trade in there. If someone wanted to do one of those pairs trades, I don't. But, for instance, you could be long the bunds and short treasuries, or long the bunds and short the JGBs, which don't yield more than about 1.5% anyway. So there you are. In currencies, now remember I've been saying that we're getting at least a jawbone of the day, and anytime we get up near that 130 level, the jawboning becomes a little bit more aggressive. This is the policy that we saw exactly a year ago. My hunch is they're going to have to work an awful lot harder to break the back of this euro rise against the dollar, which is essentially dollar weakness in here. And the European currency that we've seen the most dollar weakness again has been the Swiss franc, an old favorite in terms of bolt-hole status. I'm not aware that the Swiss have been complaining about this yet, but I wouldn't expect it to be far away. And the Norwegian krone also. And that, of course, is a powerful petro-currency, and it's not hurt by the fact that the petrol price is still coming off because, again, price of oil is still pretty high. So, now, where did the jawboning come from today? Well, what I just saw on a Bloomberg tally was that Berlusconi, the Italian prime minister, had been mentioning this and actually saying he hoped that the ECB would be selling dollars. I beg your pardon, selling euros. Let me get that right. Berlusconi said that he hoped that the ECB would be selling euros. Well, again, my point is that I think they're going to have to be fairly aggressive to check this move, because on the charts it's better underpinned. And while the jawboning has checked the euro's rise here, it certainly hasn't broken it. In other words, we haven't seen any downward dynamic by the euro, and as I speak, it's up a quarter of a cent here at 129.14. But the better currency story, in my view, and actually the strongest currency in the world, I believe, right now. And by what do I mean by right now? Well, you take the last, say, oh, couple of weeks at least, maybe perhaps even a month, is that Australian dollar. Now, I think I mentioned yesterday, I hadn't put it on my website, but I did, I'd forgotten to, unfortunately, but I did pick up more Aussie dollars against the US on that little sort of hesitation we had yesterday. That's touched a new recovery high in here today. It's currently at 76.48, up 52 ticks, and it has been as high as 76.60, so it's near the high. Chart still looks absolutely fine, nice and orderly. I think this is going back to 80, at 80 at least. 80 was the high that we saw in February, but of course, that's a guess. And the more important thing is the trend, and using the trend running tactics in here. And I've spent most of this afternoon talking about trend running tactics in here at the chart seminar, and I'm hoping that we break up out of this little range, which it looks like it's going to do, if not tomorrow, next week. And then I'll be able to nudge some stops up, but using a technical stop rather than a financial stop, which I did a little earlier on in this trade, and financial stops usually get hit and aren't terribly clever. Okay, what else can I mention to you that's relevant in here in these markets? In terms of currencies, that's essentially the main story. The dollar a bit softer in here today. Sterling, not against sterling though. Sterling's not a hard currency in here. Neither is the yen overall. So the hard ones really are the Australian dollar. The Kiwi dollar was strong, but that's taking a bit of a breather in here. In Europe, the Swissie, the Norwegian, and the euro. But in that sequence. Okay, in the metal markets, a lot of people have been bearish of these metals recently. Well, we don't see it in the price action. Gold is steady in here. It's maintaining this breakout, and currently 434.85. That's up a little bit in here today. And silver is about unchanged on the day, but 747, that's not at all bad. Palladium up a little bit in here, but that's very much the laggard. Platinum up a bit in here. Now tin, this is interesting, 91.40. This range for tin has been so amazingly tight, and when we had the meltdown on the one day meltdown, I should say, during the LME dinner, that I said was sort of a contrived sell-off. I think a bit of a raid there to trigger the stops. That's my theory at any rate. Tin came off the least and then regained the whole thing, but this sector generally looks very, very firm. And Owen and I were going through some of the long-term charts on these and these metals. Remember, we had a long secular bear market in all commodities, including the supply and elasticity trades, which I love. Supply and elasticity remains my investment theme of the decade. And I'm looking at these. I was a little worried about my stop in lead. It was nowhere near it, but I decided to protect half my lead profit with and in the money stop rather than take the gain after it had run ahead a bit. Steady in here today, 9:40 on the close, up 8. The tin up 65 at 91.40. Nickel up 190. They're all up except for aluminium, which is just down $4 at 1787. So that's barely changed. So this is still a very, very profitable area. Now, and I think that, again, emphasize this secular bull market, and they're not being dragged down by the oil price, although that does represent a bit of a headwind. Now, the grains, and this, again, I've said it's going to take patience here, the grains are a little bit softer here today. Soybeans had that good day yesterday, but couldn't hold all the gains. But it's not down much. It's down 3 as I speak at 522 on the January contract. Corn down 1, but still very drifty. My feeling on this, I was talking to Garnet Harrison today, Owen was really talking to Garnet Harrison today about this, who is a bit of a China expert, and just sharing the view that there's major potential in these grains, just because China is going to have to be a heavy importer of foods in all probability. But at this stage, we haven't seen any major buying come from China yet. But I don't think they'll be able to resist these cheap prices. Markets are still very soft following the terrific crops that we had in the United States, and China didn't have a bad harvest as well. So this will take time, I think, overall. But if it isn't this year's story, and my guess is that it won't be this year's story, that a recovery in these grains will certainly be one of next year's big themes. So I'm not going to press it, but I am represented there. I may well increase my positions before too long, very much on a baby steps basis, taking a medium term view on this area. The other alternative is to just wait until we see these markets string together several days of consecutive gains, and then we would have some of consequence. Then we would have some technical evidence that the low was actually in. That's the more conservative route to take. But in a very bombed out market like this, I like to start a little early and begin to accumulate. So that's pretty much it, folks. And I'll just say have a good evening. I will be back a slightly later hour tomorrow to get in my big picture long-term outlook audio. All the best.